All right, go ahead, talk. Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast.
No.
Do it.
No.
Do it. Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. Do it. You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. TheWordBros.com. What's up, everybody, and welcome to a Kevin Cuffless episode of Word Bros. If you want to stop listening right now, I understand. But if you are brave and you want to forge ahead, I think you'll really enjoy it. We've got a really good group of dudes on today. We've got two gentlemen who have a Kickstarter called Blood Force Trauma. We have artist Jake Smith and writer Hiram Corbett. Really cool guys. This book is on Kickstarter right now. You should go check it out. It looks really fun. We're going to talk to those dudes in a hot second, Jake Smith and Hiram. They do a really great job with this book. It's super fun. It's just a really good time. So give it a listen. Speaking of the desperate nature of Kickstarter, we are have two very special guests today. Hiram, I don't know your last name.
My last name is Corbett. I'm sorry.
Okay,
I'm
there you go.
Should have gotten that.
It's okay. I was looking on the Kickstarter page for it real quick. Hiram Corbin and Jake Smith, they are the creative team behind the book Blood Force Trauma. Their second issue is live on Kickstarter right now as we speak. Hello, gentlemen. How are you today?
Oh, we're great. How are you?
We're doing well, man. We're doing well. We're just making these funny books, dude.
Yeah, dude.
Now, are you both of you, because I'm confused. Maybe I am confused a little bit because we were talking off record. And yeah. Jake, you mentioned that Hiram, are you an animator?
I am in some respects. I used to animate heavily at SCAD, but now that I don't have my equipment, I haven't animated in a while.
Okay.
As soon as I get my Cintiq or whatever that would be, hopefully I'll start animating again.
Okay.
Yeah, he went to school for animation. Like,
wow. What are you making comics for? You could be making cartoons and making money hand over. Are you
crazy?
That's
one of the reasons why Blood Force Traumas is so fun, like to come up with ideas for, because like, I essentially envision it as a comic. And so when I share
or as a cartoon.
Think about my ideas, like it's like either cartoony, zany characters or the way each panel is going to like block it, you know, is blocked out.
Okay.
He normally does like the heavy work on that one.
Okay. So you're the writer and do you do any character designs or anything like that at all, since you have a background in animation or?
I think for like one or two characters, like Slicer Dex, I did like a thumbnail sketch and I was like, here's like
and Meat Grinder. You did Meat Grinder too.
Oh, I did? Oh,
yeah.
I did a couple of characters. I did like a butcher chef that we didn't use. And
oh, yeah. We haven't, he might come in. Who knows?
He might. but I drew like a sketch and I was like, here, Jake, this is like what I would look and like Jake would make it awesome like in a few minutes. And I'm like, here it is. And I'm like, damn.
It's like our process is so organic that we get to the point where we forget where our like who came up with anything. You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
And at the same time, like Kevin and I write together too, and like it's never a contest of who gets more ideas in a book. I think when you work as a team, at least with Kevin and I, it's just let's just make the book better. Like ideas are unimportant. It doesn't matter who came up with what. As long as the book is good, who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Exactly.
Yeah. Because like what we'll do is like I'll put in like temp dialogue and then we'll change it like at the end if we need to. Like if we're like, oh, this doesn't actually fit with the drawings that I've done, and I give it to Hiram and we do like a pass and we're like, oh, let's beef up this line, let's do this. Like we really don't care about like our names being like, this is a Jake Smith book or this is a Hiram Corbett book.
You just want to make the best book you can, and that's all.
Exactly.
That's awesome. Totally. I dig that. So Hiram, you're an animator, and again, you're just dumb. Like, just get in.
Yeah, get out of here. What are you doing
with you? Like, stop this comic writing thing, you goofball. And then Jake, you're primarily an artist, yes?
Yeah, on comics, and that's because I hate money. Like Hiram and me, we hate money.
We hate money.
I don't want to animate. I hate money. And I was like, yeah.
The artists make all the money. What?
You
got a bad deal here, Jake.
I mean,
that
VHS thing that we're doing, that we're working on, like.
Oh, yeah.
I had like the biggest fun. I had the most fun working on it, but like I have no money in my bank account. So yeah, I hate money.
It happens. I mean, if you get into indie comics or any level of comics outside of, like, I imagine the big two, including Image, yeah, money's not really your thing.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's interesting because, you know, I'm kind of new to the industry, but as soon as I started meeting real comic artists and finding out most of them have other jobs, and I was like, I was like, oh, it's not like I was like, oh, that sucks. I was like, oh, that's good. They're just people like me. Like, I was like, because I felt bad about the idea of like, I need another job. I must not be good enough. But then I'm like, these huge guys are like, I still work at a coffee shop, like whatever. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's fine. I'm like, that's good.
Yeah, the one thing I remember, I have a friend of mine who was an IT guy for a long time and a comic book artist. And and he got asked at like a portfolio review. So like, what do you do? And he's like, I'm an IT guy. And he's like, no, that's your first problem. First thing you do is you're a comic book artist who just happens to work IT. And he was like, yeah, so he just kind of repositioned
idea. You know what? You're right.
Yeah, so it's just, I mean, everybody's got to grind somehow, man. Like, that's just the nature of the beast. I was a stay-at-home dad for 6 years. Last year, I was the in-school suspension coordinator at my at my kids' elementary school. And if you talk about someone being completely miscast, it's me that's being hilarious. An ISS coordinator.
You but feel like the guy who would let them get away. You'd be like, go for it. They're like, you got to punish this guy. And you're like, he's fine.
Like, well, where are you going? When they like, they use the bathroom without your permission. It's like, I'll just let him go.
That depends. And the worst part about it, it's also a Montessori school, which is very like hippy dippy bullshit. Yeah. So like, I have to be one of the only people in the building that's like raining down discipline on kids that have been in a hippy dippy bullshit school for like 6 years.
You give them like rainbow stickers. You're like, that's actually a bad thing. Yeah. Like, what?
Well, this is a sad, I turn it upside down and say, this is a sad rainbow. But yeah, man. So it's, I mean, that's just what it is, dude. You gotta grind. And you guys are grinding because this is your second Kickstarter. Actually, this is your third Kickstarter for this book.
Yeah, technically. Yeah. We try to forget about it, but you know, that's fine.
You learn something every time, right?
Exactly.
Oh, absolutely.
So I learned. Because you guys tried Kickstarting this, I think, in 2017 as a graphic novel, correct? Like the entire story?
Yeah, was, 2018, right?
2018. Okay, no, okay.
2019,
okay.
Right?
Was it 2019?
Yeah,
it was like, 2019.
June of 2019, because I remember I went to like LA like for a few days and then came back and like Jake, we were like, we didn't fund.
Yeah, 2020's felt like many years crammed into 1 year. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I think we did the successful first issue February of this year. Mm. And I was gonna wait for this one, but we got so many positive responses. Like, we want this next issue right away. And I had already been working on the second issue
because
I was like, I'm gonna make it. And I think the idea was just to keep the hype up. Like, people are like in the mood. So I was like, why not? And like, you guys with Metal Shark, bro, like, it was the next year you did the second one, right?
Yeah, we did, because Walter's got to draw the stuff. So it takes about a year to produce the 96 to 120 pages or whatever it is. So we just, you know, just go as we go, you know?
Yeah.
But that's a very
those
good.
Those are awesome too, by the way. Thank I don't know if I've said that those on the air.
Pshaw, we're not doing this to talk about how great Metal Shark Bro is. We're just
that's
talking.
Why you made this podcast, right?
Yeah. It's just, yeah.
But always,
I adore always that Ninja Nuns like idea. Oh, sorry.
Oh, the Ninja Nuns is great. Oh, I was going to say you redirect all the questions back to you.
Yes.
To
be that's
about, yeah, exactly. But no, Ninja Nuns looks fantastic too. Hiram is correct.
We're very excited about it. And it's fun that we're running Kickstarters at the same time because now we're bros and Kickstarter.
We're Kickstarter bros.
Yeah,
it's
fun,
we're
right?
We're back to each other. Yeah.
I'd say Kickstarter's like handing $20 back and forth.
Yeah, exactly. Like, here, man, whoa. And you get a shirt and then I get a thing and we're just like, oh, great.
Sometimes I like to throw people off and not get anything. And they're just like,
just
you don't want my book. And it's like, it's not that. I just don't want you to have to go to the post office again. Cause man.
Exactly. No. I think everyone who's run a Kickstarter who I know always messages me. Like if they're in town, they're like, just bring it to my house. Like you don't have to pay for it. Like they know how it works.
That's awesome. So tell me the challenges of doing one gigantic Kickstarter versus doing the kind of issue by issue model, because there are two schools of thought there and I would like to hear your ideas about it.
So the graphic novel Kickstarter would have been fun because then you get the one chunk of money, you don't have to run a bunch of separate campaigns, and you have the one product with the complete story in it. And that was kind of the draw of doing it that first time around. Mm-hmm. and you know, it didn't succeed, unfortunately. That would have been cool, but then that would have been great. But when we did the issue by issue model, it's kind of like a digestible amount where you can get the same people coming back every time.
True.
Kind of like even the graphic novel, it's like you want a much more money, and people can only, and the way Kickstarter works, people can only give so much and pledge to like one thing at a time.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So like, I always get people asking like, I want the shirt and the thing. How do I do that? And I'm like, I wish Kickstarter had a built-in thing to do that. But
well, I heard they're working on an add-on thing. That's just a hot rumor I heard.
Yeah. It was like, they asked me about it. They're like, we'll email you about the info. And I'm like, I want it. Like I want it. I wish it would work right now. But, so the issue by issue just has worked for me because that's what I did on my last Kickstarter book. And I don't know. It's like I if I had done the graphic novel, it's like you probably know more about that because you did the collections. Mine didn't succeed, so I don't know the challenges of that too much. You know,
sucks.
As much. Sucks. Does it suck?
It sucks.
Really? Would you rather have done it the other way?
Well, it's one of those things where it's like, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. Because I feel like if you're doing issue by issue, it's gonna, you just feel like you're always in Kickstarter mode, which is just like this life-sucking, kind of draining, terrible pit of despair.
Of like, money, please, please.
Yes, where your mood is based on the amount of pledges you get per minute, if that makes sense. Whereas, but then at the same time too, people on Kickstarter and people who believe in Kickstarter are always happiest when they get that book. They don't even fucking read it. They just get it. And they take a picture of it and they put it on social media and they're like, hey, look what I got.
So if you put it in the drawer.
Yeah. And if you can keep kind of building on that momentum by doing Kickstarters every couple months, I feel like that's a good model too. But like the gigantic $20,000 Kickstarter just takes pieces of my life away. Like I know every time I do one, like I'm losing 6 months of my existence.
Oh yeah.
Because it's just, it's so much stress, you know?
Yeah.
It is. But you guys know what it is because you've done it. So you understand the grueling nature of it, you know?
Oh yeah, for sure. Like the first Offbeat Town for sure, because it was my first one and I didn't know. No, I, you know, now I have friends who do Kickstarters like you or Ryan Brown. I've talked to him a lot. And
oh, that guy's a monster on Kickstarter.
He knows how to do it and he has all the tips. And so my first one was just like, I don't know, like the surveys didn't have enough questions that I didn't know I would need until later. I was like, oh shit, I actually need that. So I'd have to go in and direct message everyone. So that first one was brutal, but it has gotten easier and easier. But yeah, because there's always, you know, shipping issues that happen and things that come up, like someone will have like a comic that's bent a little bit and they're like, how dare you? And I'm like, I'm sorry, I didn't control the post office. And then I always send them a new one, but and they're usually nice after that. But then there's like that kind of thing. So there is the draw of hoping to get a publisher because then they deal with that garbage, you know what I mean?
Like to an extent, I mean, to an extent, you know, you still got to mail out the Kickstarter shit, you know.
Exactly
But enough about Kickstarter, let's actually talk about the book. Hiram,
hell yeah,
do me a favor and tell me, what is this book, Blood Force I love the name, by the way. Blood Force Trauma is a great name. That's very cool. Tell me what this book is about, because it looks fucking awesome.
Well, it's a great question. Like Blood Force Trauma.
I hope so. The question is, your book looks fucking awesome. Tell me what it's about.
because Jake came up with the name, like he was like Blood Force Trauma. Like it just came out just like that. Like, and I was like, oh, that.
Because when I was a kid, I thought blunt force trauma, when they talked about it on like doctor shows or whatever, I thought they were saying blood force trauma. And I was like, that's cool. And then I was like, I'm going to make it that. And like, and then I Googled it and no one has it anywhere. So I was like
I saw it as like a band somewhere, you know?
Oh yeah. Like a super, super indie band from like Virginia, and I was like, oh, and they have like 12 views. And I was like, I think we'll be okay. Yeah, but you know, if they come after me.
I think those are from Virginia. Oh my God. The book is about Zap Daniels, who's this hacker, gamer enthusiast, who's a major fan of the show Blood Force Trauma, the whole entire city's like favorite TV show where like contestants battle to the death to see who is the greatest fighter in the universe. And Zap is attending one of the shows to see one of his favorite fighters, Thrash Skullcracker. And ooh, what's up, man? And after the first battle, Thrasher Meat Grinder.
Thrasher Meat Grinder.
Thrash invited Zap on the, to the stadium, and Zap becomes the champion of Blood Force Trauma, and now he has to fight all these ghouls and goons and all these fiends trying to get at him, and he's trying to like learn how to fight to survive.
That's awesome. It's because it's like when you guys told me the idea and how it breaks down, it's got like a Running Man vibe to it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know, like it's got a cool kind of like throwback 80s movie vibe to it, and I really dig that. Like, what kind of inspirations did you pull from, or kind of ideas did you kind of mine for the overall narrative of this thing?
Ooh, so many.
Yeah, like the big two, I think, Hiram, are like, me and Hiram have like an affinity for fighting games, like fighting video games, like Street Fighter and shit like that. Like we love that, the kind of genre, and we love kung fu movies.
Oh yeah,
like 80s, 70s, 80s kung fu movies, and we kind of wanted to do our comic where the characters talked like they're in a kung fu movie.
That's
and
cool.
Like, and there's fights like Dragon Ball Z, kind of like we like the format of manga, like where the fights are the story.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Told through the fight scenes.
Yeah.
So we wanted to do our version of that.
That's awesome.
Like people who like know like Jake's style before Blood Force Trauma were like Jake like loves like a kind of 90s very grungy, very like Mad Max type of thing. Whereas I really love 1980s aesthetics, and like Jake was like, well, what if we like, you know, put those things together? And that's kind of like, that's kind of how the cyberpunky 80s grungy world came about, I feel like.
Oh, like, yeah, yeah.
No, it's got a really great design to it. Like the colors just kind of pop off the screen. Like it does have like a early 90s fighting game vibe to it. Like the characters are so over the top, and everything you kind of expect a title for like Blood Force Trauma. When I see the pages, I'm like, yeah, this makes sense.
Yeah,
you know, like it looks like you're having a lot of fun with this thing, and that's really cool.
Oh yeah, dude, it's everything. Like when me and Hiram get together and just riff on ideas for where the characters are going to end up, we have such a good time. It's kind of like us doing a podcast for ourselves that no one's listening to, and we're just like talking and
fair, that's just podcasting. You're just talking
just
to someone and no one
podcast.
Exactly. Yeah.
And we're just like, wouldn't it be cool if he did this? And like Hiram's really good at taking my ideas and like in his ideas and making it make sense in a narrative to where he works it into the character development. It's not just like, oh, what if this guy has like robot arms? He's like, what if the story dictates we get to that and it's a natural way of getting to him having robot arms or whatever, you know, something crazy. And it doesn't have to be like poetic. Like it's still called Blood Force Trauma, and it's this over the top, like wacky, I call it like bargain bin comic, where you would find it like in the dollar bin and you'd be like, holy crap, what is this?
Like you feel people, like,
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And then we worked in that VHS aesthetic that we love so much.
Dude, but I mean, like, I can see what you're going for, and you're clearly hitting the mark, which is the whole point.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
You know, like, that's exactly what you're kind of looking for with this thing. So, like, so this is issue two that we're kickstarting now. You guys have already surpassed your goal of $3,500. How many issues are we looking at for this thing? Like, what's the plan here?
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah. So this first season, we're calling this like season one, is like a 12 issue season. So what we're gonna do is ideally we'd want to do the first six would be like season one part one, and we would collect it if we, you know, all of to do it.
Yeah.
And then season one part two would be collected, and this would be the first season. And then we have like three or four seasons like planned out. Like
we have like big aspirations for this thing. Like,
yeah, we're kind of just like, let's ride it out, see how far it can make it.
We plotted it out, like, I think, cause like Jake, like, cause I don't know anything about comics. Like, so you guys like separate each like acts as different arcs,
stuff
like that. And I didn't know anything about arcs when we were plotting it, cause I think Jake and I were plotting the whole thing, like in general, in like one day in Jake's room in our
yeah.
And I think once we got to like arc five, it just got in completely like off the rails, even
but
more.
But it felt like an ending. We were like, I think we found it. Like,
and that's, cool. That's cool.
We've gotten into the minutiae since then, like breaking down everything.
Yes.
But yeah, no, we've got like 3 or 4 seasons, you know.
Now, okay, now I'm going to be a pain in the balls here, and I'm going to ask you,
you're
what
good.
If it doesn't get that far? Like, what if you kind of notice that you're starting to...
To wane, I guess.
Do you have an ending, like an alternate path to get to the ending? Or is it just going to be like, that's it?
Well, it's like, it's hard because I think each arc, we designed it to be its own story. So it's not like... If you were to stop it after season one, you'd feel unsatisfied.
Okay, like, okay. Exactly. That's cool. Okay, so like if you can get these first 6 in, you'd be satisfied. Like you don't need to have all 400 of them done to feel like made this.
You know? Yeah, for sure. I think we would be real let down if we didn't get to 12. I think 12 we have a definitive
you guys
to do it, but that's hard. No, I know.
That's playing with fire right there, dude.
six is like. Maybe we could have an ending, but that might not be a good ending.
I think we're just kind of feeling the room, you know, with
each. Yeah. It's kind of like, we love it so much though, that we'll find a way. Even if I have to like, you know, like we were talking about, like get a second job and pay for it myself, like mm-hmm. just work my ass off. Like I'm going to try to finish this book. Well, even if no one reads it, you know, like well, that's how much we like it.
It seems like you're going in a good direction because I'm looking at your Kickstarter page here. This one's already 122% funded with 15 days left. So that's cool. It looks like you made 6,000 on your first one. So, I mean, it seems like you're moving in the right direction. So that's awesome. Yeah.
Well, like, I think because you know how it goes, like the last few days will kick up because people like went right as it ends. A bunch of people show up. Like, it's always like the first day is great. Yeah. The middle sucks. And then the last day, everyone comes back.
See, it's weird. I was talking to a friend of mine who runs a lot of Kickstarters. We were chatting about it. And like, why not just do a Friday to Friday Kickstarter?
Yeah, like 1 week.
Just do a week and see
what cut out the middle. And
yeah, just
happens.
Do a week and see what happens. Like, because you get all your pledges on the first 2 days and the last 2 days. Why not just
that's
cut
a good
out?
Idea.
Why
but then not there's just... so there's so much like nervousness. Like, oh, but what if it doesn't?
Yeah, like on like oh, third shit. Day, it's just like you're on the third day and like you're like a little bit halfway through and it's like, oh my gosh, like
what we really screwed the pooch.
I'm but I'm not saying for a gigantic goal, but if you do a book for like $2,000 and just try it in 5 days to see what happens.
It's a good hey, do that. And get
I am. I'm already trying to talk Kevin into doing one. Like,
oh,
let's
shit,
just do.
You should.
Let's do it for 5 days because we have a book that's finished that just needs to be reprinted. That's just sitting in my garage.
Oh, you know, yeah,
like,
do it.
It's
yeah.
just one of those books that nobody picked up. It's just we sold it at shows. We ran out of copies. So, like, why not just reprint it so we can sell it and see where we are, you know?
Dude, if that does well, that's a cool indicator for other creators to be like, oh, okay, it does work like that. Because the middle is, like, literally, like, you'll go days and get like one backer because it's
like,
so slow.
Days, like, 25 through, like, 3 are just fucking like a wasteland, you know.
Exactly.
And like you get 2 backers, and then what happens is you lose backers. And
yeah.
Like who gets buyer's remorse about stuff like that? Like, oh, you know what? I'm not giving you $10. Like, I'm not doing it. Like, no, man.
Because then if you do Friday to Friday, they don't even have time to realize that they made a mistake. That you've got them.
Exactly.
Got them.
Exactly.
They're stuck.
They're stuck with us. So yeah, man. So okay. So you guys got about 15 days left. When are you gonna launch issue 3? Because that's next, right? Like you're just gonna
I know
Kickstarter mode.
Oh man, I think that's a more of a question. Yeah, I think that's more of a question directed at you because I.
Oh yeah, because so we have some. We're talking to some people about picking the book up. We can't say anything about it.
Can I guess? If I guess, will you tell me?
If you guess, I'll wink at you, and then they can't hear it.
Well, it's an audio. We've also started posting video of these things.
Oh,
so,
God.
I'm
nude right now. I'm like, what? You didn't tell me?
Now everybody can see you have clothes on, dummy.
What if I was like, what? I thought this is audio only. Bastard.
We can talk about it afterwards. I have some ideas. Because I know there are a lot of publishing companies who enjoy and who kind of
Kickstarter.
Like that's
like you guys with Scout, like Scout's a big like
company. Now did you have anybody else after you funded that first issue kind of come reach out to you about publishing? Because we had like three or four different people talking to us, but we went with the best one.
After the first issue, it was interesting because we did, but that company, I'll tell you about it later, but okay. Yeah, that company was just kind of, it was just, it didn't end up working.
I feel you.
Basically.
I feel you.
And this Kickstarter has been so close after the first one mm-hmm. that the publishers we're talking to now, it might still be a direct link to that first one. It might not even be, you know what I mean? Wow. But yeah, no, Offbeat Town too, also. Like, we were talking to Scout for a little while.
Oh, that's cool.
We ended up going with Devil's Due, and they put out the trade.
Nice.
And, which is cool. It was a good experience. And then, and a bunch of random publishers I hadn't heard of, you know, like that kind of stuff happened. and that's interesting too, because you don't know if they're going to become big. Like, they're going to like Scout at that time was really small, and now they're like substantial. Like,
right, they're working on some stuff.
Yeah, it's like cool. Like right at that time, it was like a few guys, and they were like, "We're the Scout. Like, we're trying to get in." And now I feel like people talk about Scout way more than they used to. And I'm like, I they come to mind now. Like when I talk about like Aftershock or those kind of guys, you know.
We're working on it, man. They got some good people over there, and they're super supportive, which is nice. Yeah, and good books, and like just a responsive staff. Like I know I can email somebody at Scout and get an answer, as opposed to like other publishing companies I've worked for where it's like, hey, it's been 2 weeks, I haven't heard from you guys, like where are you, what are you doing, you know? At least send like, yeah, I've seen this, we're working on it, just something, you know.
Yeah exactly.
So okay, so we've got this one, we're running now. What else are you guys going to continue to work together to make and to dominate comics, or is this just kind of like your one idea? Because Hiram, you said you're not even much of a comic guy, you're more of an animator. So are you going to stay in the realm of comics?
You should.
I'm more like animation and film. Jake wants me to like stay in comics in a little bit
because he's
like,
so good.
Like I'm not sure. And I'm not like, I don't know what direction I'm going to take in the future. So like, you know, I'm keeping my options open.
That's cool.
And just,
he's got great ideas though.
I have a couple more ideas for comics. Oh, sorry. What were you saying?
Oh, no. I was just, you faded out there for a second. I thought you'd stop talking. Go ahead. You're good.
Oh, no. I was just saying, like, I have like a few more ideas for a few more comics, but like, it's just like throwaway ideas or like ideas.
They're great.
It could be a thing, could not be. I'm just like, you know, I'm keeping an open mind for the most part. Like, it's just like, I'm just so focused on wanting to make Blood Force Trauma like an animated thing.
Yeah. Well, that was going to be my next question. How often does Jake bother you about trying to animate this thing? Like, on a daily basis?
We talk about like Blood Force Trauma like as a video, as a fighting video game, as an anime, like as an animated cartoon. Like, I mean, I want to like send it to like almost like most of the 2D production companies I know that's independent. And that's,
So something. What's stopping you, man? Do it.
Do it, bro.
I'm working on it. I'm working on an email that I'm typing up. And hopefully like, whenever Jake gets to it, we'll get some character modeling sheets going.
That's cool.
Show them the preview of the VHS video with like voice acting. That we recently did, and I think that's awesome. So like, hopefully they're gonna look at that and be like, oh wow.
Yeah, we can make that announcement on your podcast. I mean, I tweeted it, but we added a reward where Hiram is making issues 1 and 2 into like a motion comic with voice
acting.
That's
cool.
And you can get it on a VHS tape, but it'll also come with a digital download. You know,
that's awesome.
Not everyone has a VCR, even though I think they should have
one. Yeah, I don't think anybody has a VCR, man.
I do. That's what everyone said. I go, and it'll be on a real VHS tape. And Hiram was like, no one has a VCR, though. And I was like, oh, yeah, I guess you're right about that. But we're excited. You can watch that on our Instagrams and Twitters, and you can get that on our Kickstarter now. So we announced that right now. So if you want to add – and you can add that to your Kickstarter if you've already pledged.
That's awesome.
So it was kind of a cool proof of concept too, as if it was an animation. Like it really feels like it would be a cool cartoon if that was ever to be. Exactly. You know,
it's definitely got that vibe to it.
Yeah, like specifically like traditionally animated, because I don't know if I wanted to be 3D. It was just kind of like, you know, sour all the great detail that Jake has put in. So I feel like doing it traditionally would like in the, like, you remember like the Teen Titans cartoon?
Oh yeah,
around the early 2000s.
Yes,
it was looking really dope. Like around like a little bit like that, but like probably a little bit more edgy.
Well, it feels, it's interesting because I feel like right now there's like, I don't want to say like a renaissance of 2D animation, but it feels kind of like that because Netflix is like really pushing it with all these new 2D shows, like the Castlevania show and the Midnight Gospel, and like, and it feels like it's a good time for animation. Like they're taking more risks on things right now, at least, you know.
And at the end of the day, it's just content. Content. And if you can animate the stuff yourself, Hiram, you can really kind of push yourself ahead, because when you're pitching this stuff, you can say, hey, here's 7 seconds of, you know, a meat grinder walking. And that's already more.
That's all you need.
Yeah, that's more than, you know, 3/4 of the people out there who talk about one cartoons for things. And you can do it for free because you can do it yourself.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah, because we were talking about trying to do like a Metal Shark Bro cartoon, and I started reaching out to animators, and holy shit. Like, you want 20 seconds of somebody walking, that'll be like a house payment times 4. And it's like, really? Crazy. Like, it's nuts. Yeah.
That's an insane amount of time just for every process.
No, Hiram's like, wait, house payment? Are you looking for animators right now?
No, man. If my skills were up to snuff, I would attempt. Believe me.
I mean, that's, dude, whatever, awesome, man. I mean, I'm just rooting for you guys. And at the end of the day, like, because when people ask us, well, do you want to do this? Do you? I was like, I just want to make books. And if hopefully enough people read the books, then these other opportunities will come to you. And it seems like the opportunities are coming to you. This thing is funded. Obviously, there's going to be a third one because you're going to keep the momentum going. So that's really awesome, man. So congratulations to you guys. I'm looking forward to more Blood Force Trauma. I think you guys have got a cool thing here.
Oh, thank you so much.
No problem. So where can we find you guys on social media and whatnot?
So you can find me on Instagram at dead_gremlin_comics.
Okay.
And on Twitter, Jake Smith Art. And then the Kickstarter itself is at bftcomic.com.
Okay.
So pretty simple.
Like on Twitter at Hiram in 4D, and you can find me on Instagram as my handle, Hiram.png.
Cool. Sounds great, man. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on the podcast. We really appreciate it. And when you guys are ready to promote issue 3, you're more than welcome.
Awesome. Thanks, Bob. That was awesome.
No problem, dude. Now, Hiram, let me ask you a question. Do you think you could animate like a Word Bros thing where like me and Kevin are riding an eagle?
The thing is, Hiram could do that, and he would destroy it.
Hey, let's talk after. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right, so that was Jake Smith and Hiram Corbett, the creators of Blood Force Trauma, which has a couple days left on Kickstarter. Go check that out, man. This book looks like a lot of fun. I think you'll really dig it. So we'll be back next week. We have a very special guest next week. Kevin will be back with us as well. We're going to talk to Gamal Hennessy, who has a book out on Kickstarter right now that is all about the business and the process of making an independent comic book. I think it's something that you guys will really dig. That's next week. So subscribe, enjoy, and we'll be back next week. Thank you very much. You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast, thewordbros.com.